Hello. Good morning. Good to see you guys. I love the energy that's in the room. Welcome to all of you who are here in the building. It's awesome to have you. You guys remember the movie Dennis the Menace? Y'all remember that? It was also a cartoon I used to watch when I was a kid, and loved Dennis the Menace. And so Dennis was kind of famous for doing this thing. He had this neighbor. You guys remember his neighbor? What was his neighbor's name? Somebody? Mr. Wilson. So that's right, Mr. Wilson. And so in order for me to greet our online audience today, we need Dennis the Menace in our mind, okay? We need Dennis the Menace in our mind because I want to look into the camera, and I'm talking to every single person who's out there somewhere in a living room or listening to a podcast, or maybe it's a Tuesday afternoon by the time you're hearing this, but I just want to say, hey, Mr. Wilson, this is a very special greeting to you. Forgive me if I'm getting a little bit choked up, but I just know that you're watching from home. I know that you've been tuning in every single week, and I'm going to need help from everybody that's in the building this morning when we say in a congratulatory way. I'm going to need some cheers and some whistles and some claps and some whoops, some hollers that we are so thankful that you are cancer-free. Come on, everybody. Come on. Yeah. And here's what I know, that if you could be here, you would be, but you're having to abide by certain safety things, and you're making sure that you take care of yourself because doctor's orders. And so we just know that you represent many, many other people who are having major effects by what's going on in the world today. And I just wanted to talk to you personally, and you're going to be my representation of every single person who watches online. Come on, one more time, everybody. We are so thankful for you guys. We love you. All right. Y'all were wondering where I was going with Dennis the Menace, weren't you? What's he got up his sleeve today? Hey, I just want to welcome you. We're in part number three of a series that we've been calling Dangerous Prayers. This is a series that was originated by Life Church out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. One of my heroes in the faith, Pastor Craig Groeschel, originated the series. And I do sometimes I will do what I call understudy. So I will just take something that I've learned from someone else. I'll kind of understudy it, and then I will really put it into my own words and stories and things. And I'll try to translate it into a way that I think is speaking to our church. And since we're in 21 days of prayer right now as a church, this is the series that I just felt very, very led by God to do. In fact, I wrote it down in January, Dangerous Prayers for August. I just felt like it's what God wanted months and months ago. And the idea of this series, if you've not been a part of it so far, by the way, I would just recommend if you've missed any part of it, you could go back to our website, you could go to YouTube, you could catch up on any of the messages. We've been praying dangerous prayers because sometimes our faith gets safe. And if those of us that walk with Jesus are not careful, it's easy for us to get really more about ourselves than about God's will for ourselves. And so if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a posture where we're just saying things like, hey, help me, God, bless me, God, protect me, God, and it really will become all about me. And I'm not saying we shouldn't say those prayers. In fact, I would encourage you the other way. I think you should pray those prayers. But I want you to hear me say this, that following Jesus was never meant to be safe, ever. And so the pull and the lean of our flesh will make us really selfish. It'll make us really about ourselves. If we're not careful, it'll become all about us instead of what God has called us to do. God's called us to live in community. God has called us to serve other people. God has called us to advance and preach and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the hope that we have found. This is the call on the life of those who walk with Christ Jesus. And so this series is a reminder to us that, hey, let's just pay attention to our prayer lives. Have they gotten too safe? Have they gotten too selfish? Have they become really more about us than about what God can do in us? And so in week one, we talked about the dangerous prayer, God, would you speak to me? Would you speak into my life? Week number two, we ask God the dangerous prayer, would you send me? Would you send me to where you want me to be? Today, we're going to get into a third dangerous prayer, but in the idea of prayer, I love starting with this verse. It's a promise from God. It's found in Jeremiah, the Old Testament in your Bible, and God says this, it is him speaking, call to me and I will what? I'll answer you. If you call to me, I'm going to respond to you. And then he goes on to say, I'll show you great and mighty things that you're not even aware of yet, stuff that you don't even know yet. In fact, I've got plans and ideas and hopes and a calling on your life. If you'll call to me, I'll answer you. And I just want to encourage all of us as a church to take this very seriously. And so in this season of 21 days of prayer, we've been calling on God. And we've actually been challenging ourselves. Let's pray dangerously. Let's pray some things that might call us out of our comfort zone. Let's pray some things that might make us think less of ourselves and more about others. And so today's dangerous prayer is going to take a little bit of a turn. In each of the prior 2 weeks, I have been kind of bringing you to a story, and we've seen where someone has communicated to God something dangerous like, speak to me, something dangerous like, send me. Today's dangerous prayer, I can't take you to a story where someone prayed this, but I can take you to dozens and dozens and dozens of examples throughout the Bible of people who lived this. And today's dangerous prayer is simply this: God, would you break my heart? Would you break my heart? Would you do something inside of me that changes me? Would you cause my heart to break? At the end of worship, we intentionally finished with that bridge from a song called Hosanna, and the word said, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart, God, for the things that break yours. And I don't know, maybe some of you have experienced moments where your heart has been broken, something bothers you, you see things that frustrate you, or they kind of get under your skin. And I want to kind of clarify, there's a difference between certain types of things. Like, I know what some of you guys are thinking, like, oh, you know, like 2 years ago, we just saw this abandoned dog and we had such a heart for him. Our heart just broke for him. And we just took him in off the streets and cared for him. And he was so afraid and skinny because he wasn't eating. And now he just lives the best life. And like that's good and all, but I'm not talking about that. All right. I mean, good for your dog. I'm glad he has his own food dish and a bed, and he gets spoiled by you. But I'm talking about things that maybe are a little deeper than that. And I've just offended every animal lover in our church with that example. Forgive me. But I'm talking about things that are deep in meaning. I'm talking about things that really wreck people. Like, for example, can you imagine where our world would be had Dr. King's heart not been broken for injustice? Can you imagine if Mother Teresa didn't have a heart that was broken? I mean, I want you to, that's what I'm talking about. That's the mindset that I want us to get into, is a heart that really, truly is broken for things that we can't stand to see. And the trouble is that some of us are afraid that God would break our hearts, because if my heart breaks, then I might change. And that's exactly why it becomes a very dangerous prayer, that if I begin to have a broken heart, then maybe things on the inside of me will begin to shift. I want to give you a couple of examples from the Bible today. Now, the first one is from Jeremiah. Like, this is, we've been going to Jeremiah 33:3 at the start of every one of these messages. It's the foundation verse for our series. I always like to have a verse for our series. Call to me and I will answer you. This is that same person that God was using to declare those words to us. Jeremiah, he had this broken heart for his people. In fact, God would say to Jeremiah, you're going to be a voice to the nations. And in other words, he said this, I'm not just going to have you be a voice to a church, to a city, to a region. Your voice is going to spread to the world. And in order for his voice to go there, his heart had to break, because he said this, my grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken. Then we jump ahead to verse 21, where he says, I hurt with the hurt of my people. I mourn and I am overcome with grief. It was the broken heart of Jeremiah that turned into the voice of Jeremiah. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? He couldn't have had a voice if he didn't have a broken heart. If he didn't have some empathy, some compassion, if it didn't bother him and wreck him on the inside, then his voice would have fallen flat. It would have been monotone. It would have been mute to the ears of those that needed to hear from him. It was his broken heart that made his heart go to the people. Just another example I want to show you quickly. This is the Apostle Paul. We'll go to the New Testament. This is him speaking. He says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. Look at what he says. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and my unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. Watch what he says. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. That is a powerful thing to say. But can you see that his brokenness has him driven towards something? That it changed him on the inside? He was a Pharisee. He was very religious. He had a high-powered position in Rome. He was an important guy. And then God changed his heart, and it was so radically different. It was so powerfully changed that he was compelled to communicate to people the truth and the hope of the gospel, and he needed people to know and understand, man, that Jesus can change you forever. There is forgiveness for your sin. There is good news. It was his broken heart that made him so effective. It was his brokenness that God was able to use. And so for you and I, if we are going to be bold enough to pray a very dangerous prayer like, God, would you break my heart? Can I warn you that you won't sleep sometimes? Can I warn you that you won't be able to stop thinking about certain things sometimes? Can I warn you that you will feel like the vision and the problem is bigger than your capacity, but you just not be able to stop? It's going to just consume you and drive you. But can I tell you something? I think for God to use you and me, our heart needs to break for something. I can think of a lot of examples. If you are around our community and a part of our church and been around here for any length of time, you may be aware of this, but I immediately began to think of my dear friend Lisa Franklin, who, got some fans, right? Lisa Franklin, who leads an amazing nonprofit in our community. I think, in fact, they're one of the most stellar and unbelievable nonprofits in St. Augustine, and her heart broke for women. She had a broken heart for women, and she had a broken heart for ladies that didn't have opportunities and that were falling into certain patterns of life that was going to create a poor future for them. She had a heart that broke for both young and elderly women, and she just couldn't stand it anymore, left corporate America and left her great job and left what she had built her life around in order to just go and respond to the call that God was putting on her heart because her heart was breaking. Many of her staff attend our church, and I love that so much. I think of my good friend, and forgive me if you don't know these people, but I think of my friend John Clifton. And I think of a guy that retired, and I'm not going to tell his story, but he came to St. Augustine not to do what he's doing today. He came to St. Augustine to retire. He wanted to sit on the beach every day and put his feet up and rest and get a suntan and relax. He wanted to play some golf. He wanted to do some things, but God put a burden in his heart. He couldn't stand to see the separation of the body of Christ in our community, and he wanted to do something that would unite God's church, no matter what the church title was and no matter what their name was or their denomination was. He wanted to unite them around this common theme that Jesus is our Lord, and he began to do things in our community that would pull more churches together than any other function I've ever seen. His heart would break for students that had few opportunities and they didn't have the things that other students have. And so now he's a part of this organization, Somebody Cares, and they have this tagline that Somebody Cares for Kids, and they provide shoes for children that can't afford them. They get school supplies for kids that can't do it. They give scholarships away to students leaving high school that fought and scratched and clawed their way to a diploma and now are pursuing higher opportunities, and they provide scholarships to those students because his heart broke for them. Yeah. I think of Church on the Rock. And I think about years ago when my heart broke. I shouldn't have told this story. But I just think about it. I think about when my heart broke, and I saw you. I didn't even know what you looked like, or your name, or your story. but my heart broke. And it drove me to say, I got to do something about it. Like I've got to respond. I'm going to stop there because I'm not going to cry any more than this today in Jesus' name. So I want to take you to a story in the Bible, a character by the name of Nehemiah. I want to dig in a little bit. Gave you some examples. There's Jeremiah. He was actually called the weeping prophet. Makes me feel better about myself. I think I'm the weeping preacher. Showed you the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. I've talked about some local heroes in our community. And you're a part of a story of a heart that was broken. But I want to take you to Nehemiah's story and understand some things. Like, we're going to cover a huge span of time in history, so I'm just going to hit the high points for you. I'm going to give you just what you need to know to be able to take in what I think God has for you today. But Nehemiah was a man who was an Israelite. He was kind of God's people, and there was this time in Israel's history where they were exiled out of Jerusalem, and the city was taken, and the walls back then, and in biblical times, cities would have walls that surrounded them. It was their protection. It was what identified their territory. It's how they would fight battles and protect themselves. Everybody lived within the walls, and the walls of Jerusalem were in shambles. They were crumbled in places. All the gates were destroyed, and what had happened was all those people that lived there got brought out into places of slavery. We're going to pick up the story with Nehemiah, who now people of Israel have been back in Jerusalem. In fact, for decades, they've been back in the city. But some of them were still outcast to other areas where they were still working really in their slave roles, perhaps that came from their heritage, maybe their parents, and they sort of grew up this way. Nehemiah is one of those. Nehemiah had a very fortunate position. He was a pretty high-level guy. He worked very directly, very closely with a very powerful king. And so Nehemiah, at this one point in his life, you know, he's got this kind of this nice job. I mean, man, if you're going to be a slave, like, this is kind of the way to do it. And he's got this nice favor, and he's probably got luxury life. And I mean, I'm sure he's living large. He's probably doing quite well. But he bumps into a friend who was back in Jerusalem, and he asks the question. Now, granted, listen, I'm paraphrasing. Follow me, all right? I'm just trying to get us up to speed so I can preach today. And he has this conversation with a friend, and he says, man, that's cool. You're in Jerusalem. That's pretty awesome. How is it? And he goes, well, not much has changed. Well, what do you mean not much has changed? Like, dude, the walls are still broken down. None of the gates are up. I mean, it's embarrassing. Like, we are kind of the runt of the cities around us, and it doesn't really look good for us. And I want you to watch what happens. Nehemiah says this: when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. His heart had broken. I want to contextualize this just a little bit, because what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about what happens when your heart breaks. What's going to happen? So, Pastor, if you're going to challenge me to pray a dangerous prayer, God, break my heart, help me understand what to expect if he does. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today. And so Nehemiah has this moment where he hears news he didn't want to hear. I think it was news he didn't expect to hear. I think that what Nehemiah thought was going to happen is, man, things are awesome. It's amazing. I hate that you're missing it, but like, hey, you got a cush life. Enjoy it. But dude, it's rocking over there. That's not the news that he got. And his heart broke on the inside of him, and it began to bother him so much that he couldn't stand it. It was driving him completely crazy. So if you're a note taker, I know we're not handing out notes in this COVID season, but if you have a notepad or you're a digital note taker, or you're at home, grab something real quick, because there's three things I want to talk about today. When God breaks your heart, it will change your mind. When your heart breaks, your mind will change. Something's going to shift on the inside of you. You're going to begin to think differently. You're going to have thoughts that just keep you up at night, that motivate you. You're going to have strategies that you're thinking. What's going to happen is something's going to change on the inside of your mind, because you used to have a way of thinking. You used to have a pattern. You were like Nehemiah. I'm just going about life. I'm just going about my job. I'm just doing my thing. But I heard, I've seen, I've become aware of something that broke my heart. And the result is I'm thinking differently now. Watch what happened in Nehemiah's life. Nehemiah says this, so the king, all my studiers, hang on, time out. The king recognizes Nehemiah like something's off. Remember, they work very closely. And he's like, hey, dude, like, what's going on? You seem down. Something is clearly bothering you. What is going on? How can I help you? Now we'll go ahead. And I replied, if it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant. Look at, there's last week's dangerous prayer. He said, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. And some of you guys are like, okay, whatever. Check it out. Nehemiah wasn't a builder. He didn't have a general contracting company. He wasn't a mason. He had never framed a house before. Nehemiah had never been in that field before, done that work before. Remember, he worked for the king. He had a white-collar job. He had a really nice life. But something came to his attention that made his heart break. And when his heart broke, his mind changed. And some of you, I'm going to preach just a second, preacher warning. Some of you are saying, I wish that God would give me the call of my life. Like, God, what do you want me to do? God, send me. Give me something that I can go and change the world with. And you have this desire to have a call from God on you, but you've never been brave enough to ask him to break you. And if you want God to call you, then you have to be willing to ask God to break your heart. Because when the heart breaks, the mind changes. And now all of a sudden, you're going to start thinking things that you've never thought before. In fact, you're going to start stretching your mind into areas like, I don't even think that I'm capable. I don't even know if I have the skills. I don't even know if this is possible for me. But something in your mind is going to start telling you that I should go. I should do. I should respond. And you might have this mindset that says the problem that I see, what breaks my heart is enormous and huge and large, and it's beyond me. And I might not be able to change it all, but can I change something? And what happened in Nehemiah's life is that his heart broke and his mind changed. And he said to the king, hey, I don't really know how to build. And that's not my background, and that's not my flow, and I don't have that skill set perhaps and that gifting, but I've watched you, I've been close to you, I've learned how to lead, I've learned how to delegate, I've learned how to deal with people, I've learned what excellent organization looks like, I've learned some things, and just maybe the things that God is doing in my life now are connected to the things that God is calling me to do next. I'm preaching right now, because some of you are so bored with where you are, frustrated with your current season, you're irritated at what God has you doing, you feel like the job that you have is beneath you, your education is higher, you got all this frustration with where God has you now, but it's now that connects to next. And God is faithful. And when the heart breaks, the mind changes. And when the mind changes, all of a sudden I'll start thinking and I'll say, I can take the things that I've learned here and the moments that I've had here, and I think I can scale it into this thing. And I'm going to tell you something, your mind is going to change and make you believe, and then your mind is going to change and make you doubt. Well, maybe I'm the right person, and maybe I'm not smart enough, and can I do this at all? And I'm not sure that I even have what it takes. But if your heart is broken big enough, it'll make you move into action. I'd love to pedal there longer, but for time, I'm going to move on. Point number one, when my heart breaks, my mind changes. Number two, when God breaks your heart, it will change your vision. You'll see things differently. You'll become acutely aware of what is wrong. In fact, you won't be able to not see it, whatever it is. Whatever it is that your heart breaks for, you'll see it everywhere you go. You won't be able to avoid it because you just notice it. It's like me with my obsessive compulsive tendencies. I don't look for it. I just see it. I can't help it, and it irritates me sometimes at myself. Like, I wish that you didn't notice it was crooked, but it is. And it bothers me. Why? Because I have a vision for it. Now I'm using a ridiculously superficial example. My point, though, is I can't help but to see it. When your heart breaks, your vision changes. You will see the problem. You will see the hurt. You will see the desperation. You will become more aware than you've ever been before. You will recognize it in places you've never seen it before. When we become more aware of the brokenness around us because our heart has broken, it's like I don't have to look for it. It stands out. My vision changes. Nehemiah, he went on a tour. The king said, go, do it. I trust you, man. I think you're great. You've been a good employee. But I got this young guy I've been kind of training. I was going to fire you anyway. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what he said. That is not in the story. I just thought of that 12 seconds ago. What he said was, go. The king said, go, do your thing. It's okay. And so Nehemiah gets there, and he goes on a tour late at night. I got to check this out. This is what he said. I got to see it for myself. I've heard about these walls. I've heard about these gates. I got to see it. And what he saw was this: Jerusalem lies in ruins. It's ruined. Its gates have been destroyed by fire. And he said, let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. He became aware. He saw it. Some of you, God's going to break your heart. And you're going to say, I see ruins. I see broken things that need to be fixed. I see desperation that needs hope. I see problems that need solutions. I see struggles that need strength. You're going to see it because your vision will change. When God breaks your heart, it'll change your vision. Let me give you one more example of Nehemiah. I want you to notice this, that he makes this statement, I'm engaged in a great work. So I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Here's what's going on in this story at this point. Nehemiah's got a team of people. They're fully engaged. They're working on the wall. All kinds of amazing things in the depths of this story about how they had to have a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand because they immediately came against adversity. They had to defend what God had called them to. They had to fight for the thing that was breaking their heart. Let me tell you something. Broken hearts don't come easy. They come with pain. This is why the prayer is so dangerous. And so they have this moment where they're having to defend and they're having to work, and they got guys standing guard so the other guy can work. It's an amazing story. And then there are these people, they're crafty, and they say, hey, we're going to create some distraction. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pull him away from his task. Let's invite Nehemiah over to this other thing. Let's just continue to invite him and ask, hey, come on, be a part of this. Hey, come on and be a part of this. And we're just going to keep sending this invitation multiple times. Nehemiah would give these invitations, and he would answer the same way. I'm doing a good work. I can't come down. I'm doing something important. I can't come. Let me tell you what Nehemiah had that a broken heart is going to give you. Focus. Focus. It's going to tune you in to a lasered focus to say, no, no, no. This is what my heart breaks for. This is what I'm called to serve. This is who I'm supposed to be there for. These are the people. And what happens is when my heart breaks, my vision changes, and it creates focus for me. I'm going to tell you a super fast story. After God had called me to pastor this church, I was actively pastoring this church. But at that time, we were far, far smaller than we are now. There was only, I don't know, there were dozens of people. Less than 100 people were connected to this church in this season. And so I had to work full-time. The church, I mean, paying people was like laughable, like paid salaries. That's why people ask me sometimes, like, how long have you been in full-time ministry? And I'll always ask them, like, all right, I need you to clarify that question. Do you mean like full-time ministry or full-time pay in ministry? Because they're not the same. And there was a season in our lives, in fact, where we had to just work full-time jobs. At one point, I had 3 different jobs. And then I would just show up here and do my best to just preach, lead the church, take it where God was calling it to go. And there was one season in my life that I'd gone to work for a particular guy who I loved dearly, a great friend of mine, and gone to work for him. And long story short, with sparing you the details, he liked me a lot. And he said, man, you're so capable, you know, and you have such skill. In fact, he gave me a great, great compliment one time. He said, of all the people that have ever worked for me, Josh, you're the most capable guy I've ever had. He was getting a little tired, and he just wanted to get out of the game. And he's like, oh, man, why don't you just take this business? Why don't you just take it over? Just run it. Like, we'll figure it out, and I'll just give you the company. And I'm going to tell you right now, we were broke enough for me to think about it a lot. We were struggling really, really bad. Simultaneously, I was being communicated to by other people asking me, hey, would you come like and start your own company? I had several different people like, why don't you, instead of take that company, start your own company, and then we will work for you exclusively. We will give you all of our work exclusively. Like, you'll be our guy. We just like you. We like your character. When you show up and you run the cruise, stuff happens. It's really great. Like, I just want you to do it. And I'm just telling you right now that I was like, man, this is an opportunity. I mean, this is back when the economy was down. I could have had a $1 million business in a minute, I'm telling you. Like, I knew how to make it work. But you know what? In that season of my life, thank God, my heart was too broken. I couldn't come down. And it didn't make sense. Because there really wasn't a lot of promise in what my heart broke for. I just saw a lot of need. I didn't even know how to pastor the church very well. I was struggling to figure it out. I was making mistakes everywhere. I was doing my best to motivate people and lead people and build systems that deliver vision. And how do I take what I see way off in the distance and bring it down to the reality of where we are today? And how do I actually engage people that have a call on their lives to believe in what I believe in and see what I can see? Because the truth of the matter is, on face value, there wasn't a lot to present. It didn't look like it looks right now, and I still have vision that is so much bigger than where God has us now, but I had a broken heart that caused me to say, I can't be following distractions. I can't come down. I'm doing a good work. Yes, my life might have more resources in it, or I might be able to buy more toys, or I might be able to hunt bigger bucks. Come on, say amen right there. I could see the potentials and the opportunities, but my heart was broken. My vision had changed. I can't come down. I can't be about that work because I'm about this work. When God breaks your heart, your mind changes. When God breaks your heart, your vision changes. You see it differently. You think about it differently. It's a dangerous prayer because you're going to carry a burden in your heart for something that feels way bigger than you, that you don't feel prepared for, you don't know if you're skilled enough to do. But with a broken heart, God will say, I'm calling you to something great, I'm calling you to something amazing. Number three, and we're going to close right here. When God breaks your heart, it'll change people's lives. I want to say something very boldly. Listen to me. This is sobering. This is hard. This is for you. And this is for me. Stop making it about you. Stop. Stop. That's when prayer gets dangerous. It's when it's not about us anymore. Prayer becomes dangerous when I'm willing to say, okay, God, I'll give it away. Okay, God, I'll make the move. God, I'll take the leap. I'll jump. I'll go. I'll do. God, I'm nervous. I have no idea what's on the other side of this faith step, but I'll do it because they are important enough for me to be radical. They're important enough for me to pray dangerously and listen and hear you and respond when you send me. Have a broken heart for things that are not about me. God has to check my heart all the time. All the time. All the time. There are areas of my life right now, that I've had to ask myself the question, are you holding this with a closed hand or with an open hand? Which one is it? If God called you to let this go, can he have it or are you gripping it? This might sound really silly to some of you. It really might. And if it does, forgive me, okay? But I'm just gonna transparently talk to you. And here's why I like to do this. Here's why. Because I would just hate it. I would hate it for you to think, well, that's Josh. He's the pastor. And, you know, he's got a great life. He's close to God. I have a lot of great things in my life. I do. And I have a closeness with God. I do. But I am still so carnal, you know? So this is where it's probably going to sound a little silly, but this is me. This is me. It's a big thing for me. So there's this part of my life, and it's laughable, and I'll admit it, but there's this part of my life right now, over the course of days, inside of 21 days of prayer, where I'm having to ask myself the question. This is the question, Josh. And you're going to laugh. Josh, is hunting your right or your privilege? Which is it? Which one is it? And I know that sounds silly. I get it. But you have to understand something. For me, deer hunting does two things. It replenishes me. It fills me. It's good for me, like in my soul. But at the same time, if not handled with care, it can be very selfish in me. Like I deserve it. And it's my right. And there was a time in my life that I couldn't do it. It would have been the most selfish thing I could have done. And it was in those days that we were making decisions like, well, do we pay light bills or eat? And if you see, if I'd have chose hunting like a right, do you see how it's very selfish? Do you see that? Okay. And so, when and I'm going over my time to do it, but I just feel like maybe somebody needs it. When God gave it back to me, I thought about it differently. And I held it differently. And I appreciated it. Gosh, I hope this helps somebody. And so every year I would say, God, may I have your permission to hunt. I didn't do that this year. And I think it's because I grabbed it. You see? Do you see? And I'm going, oh man, I think there's a problem because it started to get more about me and not people. Come on, I'm preaching. Somebody needs this. Watch what happens when it becomes about people. Those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners. They confessed their own sins and the things that they had held and gripped, kept for themselves, and the sins of their ancestors. They remained standing in place for 3 hours while the book of the law of the Lord their God was read. The Bible was being read. And then for 3 more hours, they confessed their sins and they worshiped the Lord their God. Safe prayer is about me. Dangerous prayer is about you. What are you holding? What's stopping you from saying, God, break my heart? Last verse and we'll close. Now the leaders of the people were living in Jerusalem, the holy city, at this time. Do you see? God broke Nehemiah's heart and his mind changed. God broke Nehemiah's heart and his vision changed. God broke Nehemiah's heart and people's lives changed. People were repenting of their sins. They were turning back toward God. They were getting back into his word. They were moving back into the territory that God had originally established for them because it was theirs. There are people in this room watching online, listening to podcasts. You're holding things and it's causing you to pray too safely. You're holding things and you're not willing to leverage your faith out there and be a dangerous prayer warrior. The call to you, the call to me, I'm with you. I am not better than you because they call me pastor. I am as fleshly and human and normal as you are. The call to us, church, will we pray dangerously? Will we let go of the things that we're afraid to lose, our security, our savings accounts, our reputations, our dignity? Will we let go of those things and say, God, break my heart for what breaks yours? With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. I want to tell you something that breaks the heart of God. And with your eyes closed and your head bowed, I want you to really think about this. There is something that breaks God's heart more than anything else, and that is people not knowing him. They don't know him. He's so desperate to have relationship with you that he sent Jesus for you. I have been the beneficiary of Jesus' love, mercy, and sacrifice in my life. I'm going to tell you something. It changes me all the time. I am not the same as I used to be, and I will not be the same as I am today. I will not be because of his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. And I just want you to hear me. If you are taking the time to listen to this message and you do not know Jesus, I want to offer you the opportunity to meet him today. It's very simple. It's very simple. You simply just confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart. And the Bible says you are saved. What are we confessing? That Jesus is Lord. And here at our church, we have a prayer that we say, and it's not special. There's nothing unique, honestly, about the words. It's about what's happening on the inside of you. And I always ask all of our church family to help me with this. Most of us in the room have said it already before. In fact, most of us say it week by week as we help you take this step. But some of you today are going to say it for the very first time. I was excited to hear about Camden last week, who said it for the very first time and surrendered his life to Jesus. What a victory. The whole day was worth it for you. And so maybe you're the next Camden. And I just want to give you the opportunity to say this prayer where you can start a relationship with them. Church, I want you to help me like you always do. Everybody, every voice, I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am, it's yours. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Would you give God some praise for those that made that decision?
If you prayed that prayer today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to say congratulations and welcome to the family. We would love to know that you made that decision. Take a minute, fill out our digital connection card in the links below. How can we pray for you during this season? Submitting a prayer request is simple. Just go online and our pastors and prayer team can join with you in seeing God move in your life. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave. One of the first things we see God model is the act of generosity, giving. It is our call as followers of Christ to also find ways to give, faithfully and sacrificial. We believe we are all called to give sacrificially to expand what God is doing locally and globally through his church. When you give to Church on the Rock, you are creating more room for more people to experience the love of Jesus. And you become part of a church that is focused on reaching the world for Jesus and creating the future of the church for the next generation. Will you please stand as we go into prayer? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message. We thank you for everyone that came out, God. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. Have a great day, church.